Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the BCL Industries Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Quantum Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Sharma from Quantum Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you, Renju. On behalf of Quantum Securities, we welcome you all to quarter one FY23 result conference call of BCL Industries Limited. We thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. The management is represented by Mr. Kushal Mittal, Joint MD. I now hand over the call to Mr. Kushal Mittal. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you, Mr. Sharma, for the introduction. We'd like to extend a warm welcome to everyone attending the earnings call to discuss the first quarter of the fiscal year 2022-23. I hope you and your family are all safe and healthy. Let me start off by taking you through the key financial highlights for the first quarter. The total income for the quarter was at 378 crores, which declined about 16% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter was at 32 crores, which is a 14% increase year-on-year. EBITDA margins for the quarter were at 8.36, a 221 basis points increase year-on-year. Net profit was at 18 crores, an increase of about 5% year-on-year, and PAT margins were reported at 4.68%, which increased about 95 basis points year-on-year. Coming on to the operational highlights for the first quarter of the financial year. I would like to start with the distillery segment. The revenues from the distillery segment for quarter one stood at approximately 96 crores, which was slightly lower by 2% against the same period previous year. This is primarily because a routine 10-day maintenance shutdown that the plant took. BCL Industries continues to experience very good demand for both ENA and ethanol. Thanks to the company's experience in the grain for over three decades, we are able to stabilize our EBITDA margins in the sector despite overall raw material increase that's being faced by all. The company has used its vast experience in the trade to hedge against the global grain prices as well. The company further utilized its in-house mill and procured paddy at tenders to supply husk and rice for its distillery sector. On the expansion front, the company has obtained all necessary permissions for the commencement of Saksha Distillery and was able to commence production from July 1st at 50% capacity. Due to some initial issues at the power plant, the company has had to take a shutdown for about 15-20 days and is hoping to come into full production starting September 2022. While the production stabilized at Saksha, the company has successfully obtained the orders to supply ethanol to OMCs and also to Reliance. We have also received the FCI allocation of rice against supply, and we have already started to supply DDGS from this unit. The supply of ethanol will start from the second half of August as we have some stock ready for us, and the orders are now pending. The only thing that is pending is some special permits that are issued from Bengal government. Meanwhile, the work for the expansion of 200 KLPD at Bathinda is under full swing. The company has availed over 60 crores from Canara Bank against this project, and this loan is applicable under the interest subvention scheme. To hedge against rising fuel costs, this company is setting up a boiler fired on paddy straw in this unit. This will help the company in diversifying its fuel needs, as paddy straw is one of the toughest biomass to utilize and hence very few buyers are there in the market. The boiler qualifies for state government scheme in which SGST on the CapEx of the boiler will be refunded to the company. The CapEx on this boiler is around 40 crores. With regards to the edible oil segment, the revenues of the edible oil segment for quarter one were approximately at 260 crores, and the company has been focusing on the procurement of mustard seed for the production of mustard oil due to a good mustard crop, which increased the overall segment production utilization. This is also evident in the increased EBITDA margin of the sector. The company has also seen a slight dip in the demand because of the high volatility in edible oil prices globally and the government curbing on inflation. So in this situation, there is a low demand when volatility is very high, but the company expects this to settle in the coming quarters. Lastly, in the real estate segment, the company recorded a revenue of 1.4 crores. In an attempt to reduce the financial burden, we will continue to utilize our real estate to liquidate debt, which is visible in year-on-year results. Thank you. I would now like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Skyridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on the good margins, but the revenue depreciation that we saw this quarter, I think Q on Q consecutively 33% decline. Can you explain, in edible oil, I mean, can you explain how much margin effect and...
Yes. Firstly, I always, you know, in our industry, we never tend to compare quarter on quarter results because, you know, it is a cyclical industry and it's always more accurate to compare year on year results. And we've said this previously and I'll continue to say this again. So, in the edible oil industry, what has happened is the government has started curbing on inflation and edible oil sector is one they're targeting in, you know, help to bring the prices down. And there has been a very high volatility, you know, globally in terms of the edible oil prices. And when there's such high volatility and, you know, the people are expecting that the prices might reduce a bit, then there is no distributor or retailer who would want to stock anything. So that's why there is a low demand, which, you know, it was evident in our commentary previously also that we were saying that we expect this quarter. And secondly, in the summer months, always there is low demand. So there have been two factors. And we don't want to sell our product at a loss. So that's why naturally there was a decrease in the revenue from the sector. And, you know, we have surpassed our... EBITDA margins, what we were saying in the past, we surpassed that, and that is only because, you know, now there is more edible oil seed available in the market for us to crush and process. And you, as explained, because we are fully vertically integrated, it is always more profitable for us to buy indigenous edible oil seeds and then process them in our oil mill or solvent or refinery instead of importing more and more oil and just refining it and selling it.
Sir, we are very happy with the margins. I'm not disputing that. But even year-on-year basis, there was a considerable decline in both distillery and edible oil revenues.
Distillery, I think the decline is very minimal, and that's a couple of reasons. As I explained, there was a 10-day shutdown, which is a maintenance shutdown, which won't... overall, throughout the year, our capacity utilization will still be 100%, and... we won't see any hindrance there. And also in distillery, there was another thing was, you know, this quarter we saw DDGS prices being very low. So in those days, the company tends to, you know, stock up on DDGS instead of selling it because the price is cyclical and we prefer to sell it once the price increases, which is it is starting to. So that was another factor. So distillery, I wouldn't really, you know, consider it because throughout the year we'll achieve 100% capacity utilization. But in the edible oil sector, there has been a low demand in the market in general, and that is not just with us. That's with I think every company you look at in the sector, they have the same story. So we expect this demand to increase.
Okay, has it picked up in this over the last month of this current Q2?
Slowly.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back to the queue.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nitin Awasthi from Incred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Could you please specify the ENA rates during the quarter? I want the two rates, ENA rates and DDGS rates and broken rice rates.
ENA and DDGS rates during the quarter?
Yes.
So ENA rates during last quarter were around 57 rupees to 58 rupees, and the broken rice rates were around 18 to 19 rupees. And DDGS, ours is a little different than what the market sells. So ours was around 24 rupees. So in that scenario, we decided not to sell anything.
Got it, sir. So one, in the notes, in the presentation, one of the notes you mentioned was that that you have sold ethanol to Reliance. So how is your pricing with Reliance when it comes to ethanol? How is that decided?
So the pricing with Reliance has been done, which is the same as the OMCs. And there are just two differences that we've done with them. So the OMCs have passed on a relief amount, which we have to bill them quarterly now. So that is a relief amount of 2.337 rupees per liter. But with Reliance, we'll bill them at the time of dispatch. And the payment terms with OMCs is a 21-day credit. With Reliance, is a 15-day credit. But otherwise, the rest of the commercials are the same.
Got it, sir. So lastly, what was the power issue in the Bengal plant because of which there's a delay?
See, there has been a power plant issue where the steam line designing, which we had some difficulties with, which is causing vibration in the turbine. So we are working on fixing it. We expect, the production to commence in September.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question.
Just to clarify on the last question, Nitinji, the average rate of ENA for quarter one was exactly at 58.8, so closer to 59.
Thank you. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Dheeraj Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Jain, please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah, so thank you for the opportunity. Did I hear correctly that some approval is still pending from the Bengal government for the distillery?
I'm sorry, I'll clarify that. All licenses are in place, but in Bengal there is still an outdated system that, once we receive the purchase orders from the OMCs, it's a small procedure where the purchase orders are also forwarded to the state excise, and that goes through a chain of command where they, sign it. Okay, now you can dispatch this. So they give them a tanker-wise purchase order, and the state government gives us this NOC tanker-wise to dispatches, which is regular in nature. But for the first time, we are learning the process also. But once, first NOC comes, then it will all be regular. There's no clearances pending in terms of licenses, whether that is environmental, fire, boiler, excise. All that is clear. It's just a small procedure that still happens in the state of Bengal.
Okay, thanks for that. So if I understood correctly, you started the Bengal distillery at 50% capacity utilization, and then after a few days you encountered some issues, right? And then because of that you had to kind of shut down and then work on rectifying the issues. So right now there is no production happening at that distillery, and then
intend to start only in
September?
As we speak, there is no production happening. We stopped the plant about a week ago. and we're still working on the issue. Some issues are normal in the initial phase, but yes, this has been an issue that has prolonged, and we are working on resolving it as soon as possible. But at the same time, we have some stock available of ethanol, which we should start dispatching this week.
Okay. And by when do you envisage that we would be able to hit 100% capacity utilization for this plant?
You know, we're trying within the next days, within the next 10 days, but to be, you know, conservative, I'll say the first week of September.
Okay, it would be 100% hopefully, right?
Yes, because most of the
not
plant was tested
like
in the initial.
Okay. And what is the status of the Bathinda plant? When do you intend to start? I believe it is on track, right? The expansion
work is on track as we speak, and we're hoping, you know, by December of this year.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity, and best of luck.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Skyride Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you again for the follow-up. My question was actually answered by the previous participants, but I have a follow-up on that. So, when you bid for ethanol tenders, do you already have the economics of it in place, or once you do get an order is when you place for the grain supply and everything? I just want to understand what is the predictability in performance of distilleries.
That's a good question. And to answer it, I would say, see, first to understand that there are two ethanol that I can supply, two types of ethanol that I can supply as a grain-based supplier. One is ethanol that is derived from damaged food grain. So for that, I'll put in a yearly tender and there is no way right now that I can buy damaged rice in a yearly contract. That is done on, you know, there are different contracts. You know, some are 7 days, some are months, some are 15 days, some are 2 days. So that is all calculated by, you know, we have a team that sits down and we forecast the price of grains throughout the year. And that's how we make a decision on how much ethanol to supply under the damaged food grain scheme. Same with the fuel. Fuel also is done, you know, there are different contracts with different time periods. There is no, although in Bengal we've done a yearly contract for husk, but since there has been a exponential, increase in prices, which was not expected by anyone, to be honest, we've seen that our supplier also runs through troubles and he's asking for a cost escalation, which is justified. So we might have to revise that as well. There is also another ethanol that is the ethanol that is from surplus food grain. So that has a fixed rate. So that you buy grain from FCI at 20 rupees a kg, you buy rice from FCI at 20 rupees a kg, and there's a fixed amount for ethanol. So the only big variable in that is the fuel price. That's the major difference. And this year we've seen an unforeseen rise in the prices of food, damaged food grains and husk and other types of fuel as well. So keeping that in mind, the government has given off a relief which will be able to bill them in every quarter. And also they've allowed us to, you know, if we wish to change our supply from damaged food grain to surplus rice ethanol, they've allowed us to do so. For example, we've shifted some of our damaged food grain quantity from to surplus in Bathinda, and 90% of our supply in Kharagpur will be against surplus food grain, against which we already have the necessary orders in place.
Okay. Sir, and thank you very much for the detailed answer. And sir, one question regarding edible oil. So I can see that there has been a considerable price deterioration in edible oil, but are the volumes intact? You have said that the demand is a little less, but what can we do to keep the volumes intact at least and, protect our EPS based on margin improvement?
इससे ज्यादा मार्जिन इंप्रूवमेंट नहीं होगा मैं टू बी
ऑनेस्ट. आई गेट इट, बट रिगार्डिंग वॉल्यूम सर,
वॉल्यूम सी यस इट इज इंप्रूविंग एज वी स्पीक, बट यू नो इट्स नॉट what we saw in quarter 3 or quarter 4 of last year, I'll be frank about it. And but as you know, during monsoon and as it gets colder, the volume increases naturally, and you know there's nothing I can do that's out of the way to increase my volume. This is a demand factor is there, and that's being experienced by everyone, not just me. So it's nothing that I'm doing wrong ki mera kam maal bik raha hai market mein, sabhi ka kam bik raha hai.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Karthikeyan from Suyash Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. One on your new boiler that you're proposing to set up at a cost of 40 crore rupees. Just wanted to understand what is the supply arrangement you have in place for the rice straw, and in what form would it be consumed?
I'm sorry, your voice echo, are you?
I was asking you, what is the arrangement in place for paddy straw?
What is the availability?
Arrangement in place for paddy straw.
Okay. For paddy straw, you know, we have about 15 days in which I have to procure the entire paddy straw for the entire year. Because, you know, when there's harvesting, a farmer now has a choice between, you know, either burning it and causing pollution or hiring balers and making bales of it and selling it to people like us. So that is a 15-day period in which I have to procure for the entire year, and I will need about, my forecast are that I will need about 1,20,000 tons of paddy straw for the coming year, out of which about 70,000 tons, I've already done a contract with a supplier who will you know, supply me 70,000 tons, and the rest we have a team in place who will start procuring once you know, the harvest season is there.
And what capacity are these boilers? Would it be 30 tons?
Mine is a 60-ton boiler.
60-ton boilers, and 60-ton boilers. And if I may ask you, what would be the per ton consumption? Okay, 60 tons is 1.2 lakhs. Okay, 60-ton boilers. Yeah.
The fuel consumption?
Yes.
The fuel consumption for this could be around 350 tons per day.
And this would be consumed in briquetted format?
Yes, it will be in bales. So the bales are of different sizes. They are of 25 kgs, 100, 200 kgs. And these bales will be cut and then it will be fed into the boiler.
Okay, that's okay. Directly, right? It's just dried and fed into the boiler.
Yes, directly in the boiler.
Right, interesting. Second thing is on fuel security for your ENA stroke ethanol piece. So going ahead, what should be the mix between broken grain and FCI or other sources for you? Surplus grain stroke FCI for you?
See, currently in Bahinda, we're about 50-50 at surplus and damaged. And looking at the current market trends, I think next year we'll be aiming for about 80% from surplus food grain. Because, you know, so much food grain has been exported out of India, and a lot of broken rice has been exported to China and Bangladesh. So there is a short supply in the market when it comes to damaged food grains. And keeping that in mind, we'll shift more of our quantity towards surplus rice.
Right. And you are not seeing any sign of stress in terms of pricing for the surplus grains part?
See, the grain prices are increasing as I speak. And we are working on, you know, how to battle it. So I won't say it's a very easy situation, but we're managing it well.
Sir, thank you so much for answering and best wishes.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Utkarsh Sumaiya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. You had earlier guided for 1,000 crore revenue for the current year for the edible oil segment and for the distillery segment, and a 1,500 crore top line for the edible oil segment. Do you still maintain that margin?
Hey, see, in my distillery segment, I think I might reduce a little because, you know, Swaksha has been delayed by a couple of months due to these initial issues which we were not expecting since the plant has been designed in a way that we were not expecting these issues. But, you know, if Bhatinda unit is to start in December, then I think we should reach around 800-900 crores from distillery, and we're aiming for that still. For edible oils, see, that just depends on how much further the prices were to decrease or where they will stabilize. And that's tough for me to say at the moment. But I think around still we should aim for more than 1200 at least.
Okay. And your margins were around 4.3% last year, your PAT margins. And you've seen that improve this year. So how will you think the year will end in terms of PAT margin?
That's tough for me to say because the market in both edible oil and damaged food grain or fuel is extremely volatile. We've not seen anything like this in the past. So that's really tough for me to say. But, you know, as I can, what I can say right now is as more and more edible oil seeds are available for us, we expect good EBITDA margins from our edible oil sector.
So far, Q1 has been pretty good. So don't we expect similar or better margins throughout the three quarters, given that even peak power costs have come down?
I don't know how power, who's saying power costs are coming down. I would love a contact. Power costs are still increasing throughout the nation. But I think we should try to sustain these margins.
Okay, and what is your current gross debt standard, net debt standard, and what will it be at the end of the year?
Our debt situation as of today is about, you know, about 180 crores in working capital in BCL, and now we've availed 70 crores in Swaksha, which is both working capital and term loan, and about 60 crores in Bhatinda, so that's about 310. And we expect by the year end, for this should be around 350.
And okay, and of this, how much is term loan? Of the
170.
170. Okay, so do we expect any of the working capital loan to reduce by the year end or thereafter? Or it will be... It will
not
remain
for this year, not for this.
Okay, thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, sorry I joined in late, but apologize if there's any repeat questions.
That's okay.
Yeah, firstly, has there been any increase in grain prices, broken grain prices?
Yes, yes, broken grain prices have increased and are increasing, they're in the increasing trend.
How much by, if you can just quantify by percentage?
Yeah, I mean, at the start of last quarter, quarter one, I would say I was buying grain at 17 to 18 rupees, and today I'm buying that grain from 21 to 22 rupees.
Oh, okay. So we plan to make the additional grain which we get, that from that only we'll be doing, right? As you mentioned in the previous question, that 80% and 20%.
See, that is for the new sugar, that is for the new ethanol year. That, you know, I would be aiming for my 80% of my ethanol to be supplied against the surplus food grain scheme. That's for the new sugar year. But even, you know, we have our own rice mill. So we bought about 30,000 tons of paddy in a tender in the state of MP. And just going so that, you know, we can keep supplying rice to our distillery at a reasonable rate. Because, you know, the paddy is old and not many millers will pick it up because the quality isn't good. But we as a distiller don't care about the quality of the rice as much. So we do things like that to mitigate the risk. And for that reason, going off the last question, you know, I don't foresee my working capital coming down this year. Because, you know, to participate in a tender like this, I have to pay cash for 30,000 tons of paddy, which is a decent amount. It's over 30 crores. But it helps our margins, so we have to participate in. No competitor of ours does work like this. So we, you know, we keep finding opportunities to help reduce our raw material costs. But the rise in the raw material cost is an issue.
Okay. And regarding the paddy straw question, the total cost of purchasing was 30 crores.
Total cost of?
Purchasing the paddy straw from the farmers for the entire year was 30 crores? No. That is what it's saying?
No, I never said that. We
just mentioned a 30 crore figure, that's why.
See, I said 40 crores is the capex for the power plant.
Okay.
And I didn't give a fiscal value to the purchase of.
According to you, how much that be, Paddy, if you buy for the entire year?
For the entire year, I mean, I think it should be around 27 crores.
27 crores. And that will be accounted for this quarter, I mean, in this quarter itself, in the coming quarter, since we'll be buying right now?
This will be in the month of October, November.
October, November. Okay. Has the Soksha distillery started or is it still under shutdown?
You know, we were able to start the plant at 50% capacity utilization and, you know, we were able to produce ethanol and DDGS from it. But there have been some issues in the power plant, so we've had to take a shutdown, and we're working on resolving these issues. And we you know, we're hoping and working towards coming into full capacity utilization by start of September.
So as of today, it's still under shutdown, because you mentioned the 15 to 20 days shutdown from 1st of July. So we are in August. We're sitting in August, so that's why I wanted to ask.
It has been shut down now. It worked through most of July.
It worked through most of July. So only in August we are having this shutdown maintenance of this power plant. Perfect.
Wouldn't say maintenance. There have been some other issues, so we're working on them.
Okay. You think this resolution will be found by September?
Yes. The resolution has been found. It's just implementing it on ground, which is taking a bit of time.
Great. Okay, and it will, now just a question, basically, that will the FCI allocation in future and also from our mills, will it be enough for our distilleries, for all our distilleries in the expanded format?
No, we'll still have to buy rice, broken rice and damaged food grain from the open market, because, you know, surplus rice that we buy from FCI can only be used towards producing ethanol. And, you know, we don't wish to, we still wish to have 50% of our capacity dedicated towards ENA, because it's a more profitable business at the moment. So we'll still need to procure broken rice from the open market. And we don't see these prices cooling until there's new crop. So until October, November, we see prices of broken rice to be high. And then on, surveying the crop, seeing what broken would be there, we'll be able to make a better guess on what the prices will be next year.
I was just coming to the ENA realization, yeah. Tell me.
And also, as we speak, you know, the government is considering the rise in food grain prices, and I think they're going to come with more export curbs. I think today just they were talking about wheat, and stuff like that will help in stabilizing food grain prices in the market.
Right, because I just read on the news today, you know, it was all over the news, that since there is a low rainfall, that there is a chances of all the rice companies saying that the yield might be less.
See, the rainfall in northern part has been good. In East India, yes, there has been some areas with low rainfall, which could affect the yield. It's too early to say at the moment.
No, but under no circumstances our distillery will be having any shortage of raw material. I mean, they should be working 100% capacity without any
dearth of capacity. Yes.
Okay. There won't be any dearth of raw material.
No.
Perfect. Now, what is the ENA realization was better? What can you just quantify? Because since ethanol also the government was giving rupees two extra till September 22. I believe. And then with that, the ENA realizations are still better than that?
Yes, so that is until the end of the sugar year. The 2 rupees 33 paisa that they are giving is until the end of the sugar year. And the new rate will be coming out after that. But still, yes, the ENA realizations are still better. As you know, currently in Punjab, the ENA rate is from 60 rupees to 61 rupees per liter.
And in West Bengal?
In Bengal, it's around 59 to 60 rupees.
59 to 60 rupees. Okay. Great. And now you already said about the debt part. I just wanted to know what is the interest rate. I mean, what is the cost of?
See, our working capital, interest rate is 7.35, which is about 180 crores out of the total I had mentioned. The 120 crores of term loan in Bathinda. The interest rate from bank is 8%, but that's under the interest subvention scheme. So the applicable interest rate to the company will be 4%. And the 70 crore loan, which includes working capital and term loan at Swaksha Distillery, the interest rate is at 8%.
8%. And this subvention of 4% is for how many years?
It's for 6 years.
6 years. Great. And if there is any other further, since we will be having a boiler also, I mean, for the paddy straw, for that 40 crores also, we'll be taking it under subvention? Only SGST benefit?
That is included in the total project cost, na? So, the against the total project cost, we'll be taking a loan of 120 crores, which is fully under interest subvention scheme.
Okay. So, there's no additional loan.
The subsidy that I get is... The 40 crores that I'm spending on the boiler approximately, the SGST portion of that capex will be refunded to me by the Punjab government.
Okay, and that is 8%? 9%?
9%.
Okay, yeah, great. Okay, and is there any MSP on, now coming just to the edible oil, is there any MSP on mustard seeds?
Yes, there is an MSP on mustard seed.
How much is that?
48 rupees, and currently the price of mustard seed in the market is around 66 rupees.
66, okay, so that is not going to affect. And what is the shelf life of these mustard seeds? I mean, I'm just saying that if since you are getting from farmers, why don't we buy it for a longer period of time?
Yes, we currently are sitting on a good amount of mustard seed stock, and that is helping, you know, our EBITDA margin, is because we have more indigenous oil to process. And the shelf life is good, it won't go bad. Three, four years.
Wow. So, I mean, we'll be able to maintain these margins for another 2-3 quarters easily?
We're trying, yes.
Nice.
Also we've procured the mustard seed at a given rate. And if the prices of the oil were to deteriorate too much, then, you know, it's hard for us to sustain these margins. But I don't see them deteriorating too much. So we are trying to sustain these margins.
I know. The government has been, after palm oil. So does that, will that affect our oil prices also? I mean, from last quarter, has it decreased or it's the same?
It has decreased the prices of oil in the market, and it might decrease a little further also.
Okay. But you still expect to maintain reasonable margins?
Yes. Perfect. Because we don't indulge in too much forward buying and futures in the imported oil. You know, we buy, process and sell. We don't want to keep that risk in our hand.
Right. And in this quarter, has there been any inventory loss or gain in the edible oil?
Yes, there has been an inventory loss in the edible oil.
Can you quantify it? How much?
I'm not sure of the exact amount in front of me.
Okay, no problem.
I can get back to you.
No problem. And how much was the real estate revenues? How much real estate revenues are you expecting till FY25? I mean, how much more can we juice out from our real estate business?
See, I think around 15 more crores maximum, not more.
1.5,
yes.
15 crores. Okay, fine. Now the ENA realization is okay. Now asset side, I just saw some the capital work was, I think, referring to the Swaksha and Bathinda expansion on the asset side of the balance sheet. There were capital work in progress and there was real estate. There was an increase in FY22 in the balance sheet.
We bought some 6 acres of land in one of our colonies, which was under dispute with the electricity board. The dispute has now been resolved. The land is ours, and a bit of working in capital was there.
Okay, so this is in Bhatinda itself, right?
Bhatinda, yeah. In the current establishment, just joining it. This had been in dispute since the colony was built.
Oh, so great. I mean, we have additional 6 acres for further expansion. Great.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And now, this is my last question about trade receivables. In FY23, do you think, what is the nature of the bad debtors? I mean, since we have about...
Bad debt in our industry is very minimal. As in distillery, we don't have any bad debt. Very minimal, 50,000 to a lakh against country liquor maybe in an entire year. And even in edible oils, someone had asked me, what more are you doing to aggressively market in the edible oil sector? I currently don't sell much edible oil for credit. It's only done to 1 or 2, 3 people who've been dealing with us for the past 10, 20 years. Otherwise, if someone comes looking for credit, we don't serve them. So that's why even in this, bad debt is very minimal.
That's great. So are we planning to get into B2C? I mean, through Amazon, through Flipkart, are we planning to do something like that?
Our brand presence has increased, and we've hired a new team and are planning on increasing this even further. And even in the distillery segment, I'm very pleased to say that there has been a new excise policy that has come into place under the new government, and it has opened up the market for everyone. And we too are now aggressively marketing our country liquor product, and it's doing very well for the past 1.5 months. So that has given us a lot of courage and encouragement. And now we're also, relaunching our IMFL brand of vodka, Summer Chef, in the market, which did very well previously, but due to the excise policy, we had to shut it down, discontinue it. But we're now bringing it back. So even in the industry segment at the Bhatinda unit, we're increasing our consumer focus.
What brand, if I may ask?
See, we have country liquor brands, which is, your Asli Santra, Ranja Sofi. We are launching a new country liquor vodka brand. And we have our IMFL vodka brand called Summer Chef, which was doing very well in the years 2011 to 2014-15. But after that, it was discontinued due to the excise policies in the state. But now we're relaunching the product.
Great, that's great. And it was mentioned that we have won an order from Reliance also for the distillery. So this is the first time we won an order from Reliance?
Yes, actually it's the first time we spoke to Reliance. They had been interested in procuring in ethanol from Bhatinda also. But since most of our quantity was already diverted towards ENA and towards the ethanol tender to the OMC, we weren't able to cater to their demand. But in Kharagpur, they reached out to us again, because they have a huge, huge requirement of ethanol for blending purposes. And, we have now saved some quantity for them. And I think this will be a start of a good relationship.
Okay. Now, more just a general question, that most of the companies, whether it's Global Spirits, whether it's EID Parry, I mean, everybody has reported lesser numbers for their distillery from the last quarter, including BCL. I mean, is there any particular reason because of raw material or because the realizations were already high because of the additional 2 rupees 33 paise, which was given by the government. So, just wanted to know.
2 rupees 33 paise hasn't yet come into play, right? Because I have to bill them quarterly, and I've yet to bill them since the relief was forwarded to me. So that has not been reflected in my numbers yet, or any of the other company numbers.
Okay.
And also, we are experts in the food grain division. We've been in the market for 30 years. Primarily in food grain, because we started off as an oil mill and a rice miller, which our competitors didn't. And we have a very good gist of the market when it comes to procuring food grains, and that has helped us to, procure at I think lower rates than my competition. But you know, sometimes we reported lower margins. Tab humse aap poochte the ki aapke kyun kam aa rahe hain, unke zyada aa rahe hain. I used to say every business is run differently, and I'll still say it today. But we, I think, personally saying, you know, we have an advantage when it comes to procuring food grains.
No, no, you have reported better margins than them. I can really compliment that to you. And you have been really been very nice to shareholders by giving us dividend and not taking, you know, deciding not to take dividend. I think that has to be really appreciated by all small investors like us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Dheeraj Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. So my question is related to the 50-acre land that you have got now finally after the resolution of the dispute. So what are your plans for that? Are you planning to expand in the real estate sector? Because earlier you had mentioned that you don't have any plans to venture into real estate again.
See, it's just an old dispute which was settled, and you know, basic work will be done. There will be plotting only. We won't be building any group housing over there. It will be, you know, basic amenities will be given like road, electricity, sewage and stuff, and it, basic plotting will be done. So not much in investment is involved.
Okay, fine. Thank you for that update. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Again, this is just a request that if we can have a con call after market hours, I think we'll get more participation from a lot more investors. And because this is actually the time of market, so a lot of investors don't come for con calls. So just a request if it can happen, because it's a lovely company and I want more. I mean, it would be lovely if more investors would know about this company.
No, I think that's a good idea, and we don't have any issues with it. Next time, we keep it in mind. I'll discuss with our IR team.
Yeah, I mean, after 3:30, if it is done, but around 4 o'clock, I think it will be great.
No problem. We'll try. We'll do it next
time. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Prashant Sharma. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, I just want to know the your plan to expand, I mean, say ramp up the production in the, you know, West Bengal plant. So once it starts in September, when can we expect, you know, it running at 100% capacity?
Yeah, I think once we start in September, we expect it to work at 100%, because a lot of the trials were done while it was working at 50% and a lot of faults were found. So, you know, once we start, we'll be aiming for 100%.
Okay. And what is your CapEx plan for FY23 and FY24?
So FY23, our CapEx plan is to, you know, finish our Bathinda expansion of 200 KLPD ethanol, which has a project cost about 180 crores. And 23-24, actually once, you know, the Swaksha 200 KL is stabilized and we're confident with it, we'd like to start work toward adding another 100 KL over there. We've done a lot of the homework there, whether that's in clearances. So we expect to start that work by December. So that would be around 45 to 50 crores in that expansion.
Okay. Sir, this is just a general question. I mean, recently there has been a rumor that since the government, you know, government inventory of, you know, rice is going down. So they might, you know, prohibit conversion of rice into ethanol. Now, my understanding till now is that the broken rice that we take is not, you know, is not for human consumption. So, can you please throw some light on this?
No, you see, firstly, I have not heard of this rumor. I don't know if they're still supplying us under the scheme. And surplus rice is supplied to us by the government. And for that, we have a separate policy. And then there's broken rice that we find in the market for, you know, ENA production or damaged food grain ethanol production. And these are two different, very different rices. The damaged food grain we buy from the market is primarily food that's not, primarily rice that's not consumed by humans. You know, right. It's either rejection, broken, damaged, has foreign material, whatnot. And the rice we procure from the government under the surplus rice scheme, that is PDS rice. So that is very good quality rice. So yes, there are different raw materials.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
So just one question. You mentioned that a lot of broken rice has already gone to China. Any particular reason since broken rice is not there for human consumption? Are they using it like soya meal?
From what I understand, it has gone for poultry industry to China.
Okay. Okay.
For poultry industry, they've imported a lot.
Right. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Dheeraj Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, so if the rumor about the rice, the government not releasing the surplus rice for ethanol production turns out to be true. I hope that is not the case. But if it happens, would you be able to access broken rice? Is there enough broken rice? Would you have access to that? If not, then what would be the impact on the business if surplus rice is indeed not available?
Yeah, firstly, I don't know. I highly doubt that this rumor is true. To begin with that. And secondly, of course, you can procure something, but, you know, prices of damaged food grain will increase even further. So, procure karna hai to kar lo, rate badega, which will impact the margins. But, the OMCs are also understanding that there has been an increase in prices and raw material prices. So, expect a further revision of price, further upward revision of price in the next ethanol year as well.
Okay. So there is no dearth of broken rice. Is that understanding correct? If surplus rice is not available, then I understand that the rates of the surplus rice would increase. But what about the quantity? Is there enough quantity of broken rice available?
It's tough to say at the moment because a lot of the supply is from surplus now. So it's tough to say, but I think yes, rates will increase, but I think there is enough availability. And there's a new crop coming in as well.
Okay. Thank you for that update. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are... Next question comes from the line of Manish Garwal from Edison Energy Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, I just have one simple question. I just came across an article in Business Standard where it states that the cost of manufacturing a second generation plant is almost 6 times that of first generation. So how far do you agree with this?
I think firstly that article, this second generation, say there has been a plant that has commissioned and I still don't see them producing. It is a very tough thing to produce ethanol from second generation, and no private player can venture into that industry because firstly, the capex cost is almost 7 to 8 times as much, and then there's further cost of per liter. See, that is done by the government for a green initiative. So yes, that article is accurate if someone is able to produce 2G ethanol.
Could you please just help me with what is the difference between first generation and second generation? Like,
generation
as far as my knowledge is,
Yes.
Second generation is basically the grain-based, yeah?
No. Second generation is what they are doing is, for example, they are trying to extract ethanol from paddy straw. Extracting ethanol from cellulose. So that is second generation. What we are doing or what molasses-based companies are doing is first generation.
Okay, so our grain-based ethanol plant is basically comes under the category of first generation and not second generation.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. That is it. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kushal Mittal for closing comments.
Yes, I would like to thank you all for joining and, you know, asking very good questions about the company. We at BCL are trying our best, you know, to deliver the best results despite the market trends in edible oils and grain. And we hope, you know, exceeding your expectations in the future as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Quantum Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.